the Balance by Mark Taverner. Starring Michael Williams as George Craig and Barry Foster as Detective Chief Inspector Frank Jefferson.
Did you say your friend was a journalist, Superintendent?
George Craig? BBC Radio's crime correspondent. We were working together on a murder case. He doesn't look too well, does he?
He's just spent several hours in the operating theatre having shards of a beer bottle removed from his head. Yeah. Of course he doesn't look very well.
But he will pull through, Doctor.
Well, one always has to be cautious with head injuries. But with any luck, he should be fine.
Oh, thank God for that.
Just stay a couple of minutes. Let me know if he fully regains consciousness.
Yeah, thank you, Doctor.
But don't get him too excited.
No, don't worry. I won't say a word. Come on, George. Come round, for God's sake. Speak to me. Go on, who did it to you? Try to kill you, huh? What?
Make mine a Guinness, would you think?
You old bugger.
Who the hell's George Craig?
I believe he's BBC Radio's crime correspondent, Punisher.
Have you seen the headlines this morning? BBC journalist suffers murderous attack. Radio reporter coshed at Wembley. World Cup killer strikes again. It's a disgrace, Crispin.
I had hoped that we would get a little more coverage, I must admit.
Have I or have I not just spent the last week trailing around 15 European capitals trying to protect British sovereignty?
And trying to protect your job.
And what coverage do I get? Well, of course, I'm only the Prime Minister. I'm not as important as some damn BBC reporter. I tell you, Crispin, this is a BBC conspiracy.
Prime Minister, I hardly think that even the Bolshevik Broadcasting Corporation would go to the trouble of coshing one of its own reporters to keep you off the front pages. Prime Minister's office?
Ah, yes. Yes, I'm sure he'd be delighted.
It's BBC Radio, Prime Minister. They want an in-depth interview.
Do they? Can you just outline the subject matter? The Prime Minister's European policy and why it's such a total failure.
What did I tell you, Crispin?
Can I get back to you? The world at one. Okay, right, I'll ring you back.
Yes, well, that's one interview I shan't be giving.
I know it goes against the grain, Prime Minister, but I think you should still do it. You see, they've already got an interview with John Matthews.
What?
Mr. Matthews, as Deputy Prime Minister, don't you feel you have a duty to support the PM?
I have a duty to support the right of Britain to govern itself without interference from Brussels. Of course I want to support the PM, but let's face it, he's visited all the major European capitals and is returned with nothing.
So you think the prospects for next week's Euro Summit are bleak?
Next week's Euro Summit will decide the future of this country for decades to come. It is essential that the right man should be at the helm.
And would it be fair to say you have an idea of who that man ought to be?
I shall be addressing the House of Commons this afternoon. Anything further I have to say, I shall say then.
John Matthews, thank you. Was that okay, Studio?
Bought it, thanks very much.
Sounded pretty good to me.
Right, thanks, Maria.
The PM's in the radio car doing his interview now, Carol.
5 minutes, everybody.
The Matthews interview is 2:30.
Okay, that's fine.
Yes. Are we leading on the political story or on the Craig murder attempt?
Lead on the PM, that'll please Downing Street. Right. Anything new on the Craig story?
Max is on the phone to the hospital.
Right.
Oh, that's great news. Thank you. Listen up, everyone. George has regained consciousness and should be out of hospital in 2 or 3 days.
God, that.
Are you sure it wasn't you that tried to kill him, Caroline?
I don't think I'd have chosen a Guinness bottle somehow. Not quite my style.
His head must have felt like he'd been hit with a Guinness bottle every day for the last 30 years.
Now, Caroline, can I say this as special sports correspondent?
Look, we've had a very busy news day.
Just listen.
Right.
Last night, in beating Italy, England's footballers had nothing to offer but blood, sweat and headbanger Harry from Wimbledon.
Ready, Caroline?
Matt.
England took no prisoners. And as the casualties were stretchered off, Viali, Zola, Ravanelli, the true casualty was the game of football.
2 minutes, Caroline. You need it in the studio.
Oh, the shame that England, host of the World Cup, should sink to this. This was a match.
Max, that was...
Sans grace, sans elegance, sans everything.
What can I say?
You can say, I've simply got to run all of it.
Max, I've simply got to run.
Yeah, call yourself an editor.
Look in my jacket, Ray.
Right.
The killer must have left a note somewhere. He must have done it.
Take it easy, George. Ah, you could be right.
Read it.
Old. What's that mean?
Ole, 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 ole. It's a football slogan.
So this is your front page lead.
World Cup Willie.
Why didn't they succeed then? This is a serial murderer, Frank. He's had enough practice. If only I could remember who I was with.
Oh, I know you were with Jules.
What?
Barman said he saw you going into the conference room together.
With who?
The Prime Minister's wife.
Of course. Blimey.
Prime Minister, it's your wife to see you.
Oh, really?
Oh, I don't believe it. You're still here.
Of course I am. I'm still the Prime Minister.
Not for much longer, according to the BBC. I bought some champagne.
I would advise you not to celebrate too soon, Joe. Much as you hate being the Prime Minister's wife, they haven't got rid of me yet.
Oh, I'm not celebrating that. I'm celebrating this.
Random House? What is this? I have pleasure in accepting for publication your volume of poetry entitled Mrs. Prime Minister, Verses from the Bunker. You bitch.
A published bitch, darling. I'll be drinking this next door and then going to Broadcasting House for an interview. Bye.
Oh, an interview? I don't believe it. It's one damn thing after another, Crispin.
In which case, sir, you won't want to hear this.
What is it?
It's today's Telegraph.
Well, come on.
The German Chancellor, arriving in London for next week's Euro Summit, pledged that the meeting would achieve full European political union. He said British objections would not be allowed to impede the realisation of the European dream.
If I don't manage to impede it, I'll be out of office within 10 minutes of the summit finishing.
The party is getting extremely agitated, Prime Minister.
And it's John Matthews who's doing the agitating. Within 1 week, Crispin, I could find myself hounded out of office by that madman.
Après moi, le déluge.
What?
I thought as you're about to host a European summit, I'd put you in the mood by quoting in French.
Well, don't.
Statement of the Deputy Prime Minister.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'll be very brief. There are times, Madam Speaker, when the great game of politics seems impossible. Because even before going onto the field, you find that the captain has tied your bootlaces together in the changing room. I believe this is such a time. Madam Speaker, it is for others to consider their response to this situation. My response is this. I can no longer serve in this administration. With a heavy heart, Madam Speaker, I resign from the government.
That was John Matthews speaking in the House of Commons a short time ago. Other news now, the BBC reporter George Cragg is said to be making a good recovery in hospital after being attacked at Wembley Stadium.
Better by the minute, mate.
The England football manager, Harry Davis, announced 5 changes to the team to play Brazil in the World Cup semi-final. Financial Times chef.
Making a good recovery. I'll drink to that.
What do you think you're doing?
Opening a beer.
But you're full of medication. You might suffer a relapse.
Sorry, nurse, but that's a risk I'm prepared to take.
Mr. Cragg, hospital regulations forbid any patient from taking alcohol.
Really?
Yes.
Is that a fact?
It certainly is.
In that case, there's only one thing for it.
Exactly. Give me the bottle. What are you doing?
I'm not staying in here if I can't have a drink. Not while Frank Jefferson's out solving my case.
Mr. Cragg, you're still a sick man.
Nurse, there's one thing every good journalist needs when going out on a story.
What?
Trousers. Pass them over, would you? Now listen, buddy, lads.
Yes.
For the Brazil match, we're going to try something different. We're going to play football. I want subtlety. I want elegance. I want beauty. I want football with the smoothness of silk. Football of exuberant self-expression. Football is a sublime statement of inner self. You know what I'm saying, buddy, lads?
No,
good.
Constable.
Yes, sir.
Get this to the care room. I want all units told if any hooligans on their way to Wembley cause trouble, they're to be stopped and strip searched. You understand?
A strip search, Gov, in broad daylight.
Exactly. It'll save on torches.
Ah, Frank at the yard, if I'm not very much mistaken.
George.
Excuse me, sir, but that bandage is leaking blood.
Oh, I was under your superintendent's protection, mate. And look what happened to me.
What are you doing out of hospital? I thought if I leave catching this serial killer to Frank and the Metropolitan Police, half the population of London might get slaughtered. So I've come over to give you a hand. Let's go and have a drink.
Frank. I'm on duty, George.
Well, I trust you're on duty investigating the attack on me, which, in case you'd forgotten, happened in the VIP bar.
Now, look,
and what I want to know, Superintendent, is why aren't you out arresting the Prime Minister's wife?
I can't arrest the Prime Minister's wife, George. We've got no evidence.
But she was with me at Wembley. She was the last person that saw me conscious.
Doesn't mean she followed you into the gents and cost
you. You could at least interview her. Oh, of course not.
You're still convinced the Deputy Prime Minister's the killer?
I'm convinced John Matthews is mad enough to murder his way to Downing Street, yes.
So why try and murder me? Why murder Danny Mole, the footballer, with nothing to do with politics?
Well, you know, I've been thinking about some of the victims, George. The Earl of Battersea, never done a day's work in his life. James Yale MP, philanderer and git.
So?
Well, I think this killer has some very sad ideas. I could have bumped some of them off myself.
Oh, you've got a little list, eh?
And they'd none of them be missed.
Yeah,
I'd better go.
Yeah, of course, Danny Mole was poisoned by the drug Digitalis. And you know what they say about poison, Frank? A woman's weapon.
Here we go again.
The last thing I remember when I was having that drink with the Prime Minister's wife was that she seemed a very bitter, frustrated woman. And a very clever one.
Yeah? Well, it doesn't mean that jewelry's hers.
Jewelry? What jewelry? What haven't you told me, Frank?
I should have known that first night. That first night of bliss. I leaned to the left, you leaned to the right, saying you could not commit yourself to a kiss. And I'd thought you a man of principle, and a man to give my life for. Did I ever stop to ask myself, what's a Prime Minister's wife for? But I realized on that first night what made this sorry troth. The PM and the PM's wife, useless appendages both.
Wow. Blimey.
Sorry, I can't call you Mrs. Prime Minister.
Oh, call me Joe.
Right, okay. Thanks, Joe.
Are you sure this is a news story?
Well, it's not every day the Prime Minister's wife publishes a volume of poetry calling her husband a castrated newt. Let me take you up to Kaleidoscope.
How dare she? How dare she broadcast such profanities?
Calm down, Minister, please. Now, remember, you're out of mind relief.
Oh, there are any poems. But they're all attacking me, Crispin. Except this one. About you.
What?
Here comes Crispin, Minson and Lispin. Such an odd gent is Crispin Trent.
How dare she?
Now, let's throw it in the bin where it belongs.
I haven't listened in years.
Now, Crispin, I want you to take a look at my next statement. Tell me what you think.
Prime Minister?
My backbenchers want to get rid of me, and my erstwhile colleague, Mr. Matthews, has resigned in the hope that he'll be my successor. But am I retreating at the first whiff of grape shot?
Oh, my God.
Tell the Speaker's office, would you, Crispin? They're not getting rid of me that easily.
20 seconds to wind up. Closing headlines coming up.
Andy, closing headlines. Mr. John Matthews is said to be considering his next move after resigning from the government. European leaders are arriving in London for the Euro summit, where Britain's position appears to be an isolated one. And the England football manager, Harry Davis, has pledged his side will play open, attacking football in their World Cup semi-final against Brazil. Meanwhile, the BBC crime reporter George Cragg, who was attacked at Wembley, is... Good God. Is here in the studio.
Thank you. And listeners to BBC Radio are the first to hear of a startling development in the hunt for the World Cup killer. Two beads, apparently from a woman's necklace, have been found near the scene of the latest attack. This discovery has opened a new line of inquiry, which is being vigorously pursued by the police. George Cragg, still the crime correspondent, BBC Radio News.
BBC News at 1:10.
Thanks, everyone.
George, how are you?
Never better, mate.
George, you should be in hospital.
See you later, George.
Who's that back, Caroline?
I thought you weren't coming out for 2 or 3 days. Anyway, you're entitled to full period of sick leave. With full pay.
I've got a story to cover and a murderer, or rather murderers to catch. And I'm not going to do it lying in bed now, am I?
But, George, I've had a word with management.
No wonder you're looking peaky. Why don't you take some sick leave?
Look, they're keen to offer a most generous package.
Well, I can offer you a generous package for the 6 o'clock news. Hello? Is that news information? It's George Cragg in the newsroom. I want every last thing you've got on the PM's wife, Jo Donaldson. Yeah. Half an hour will be fine.
Why do you want to know about the PM's wife?
I'll give you 3 guesses.
The whisper in the lobby is the PM's going to resign. Why else would he come to the house at this stage?
You're not to receive a vote of thanks, that's for sure.
Statement, the Prime Minister.
I'm grateful, Madam Speaker, for the opportunity to make this statement at such short notice. The House will know that I'm about to host, here in London, what has been called the most profoundly important summit in the history of the European Union.
I wish to announce that at 6 o'clock on the day the summit ends, and when its outcome is known to this House, there will be an election for the leadership of the Conservative Party. I will be a candidate in that election. I will welcome challenges from wherever they may come. Thank you.
Well, he knows John Matthews.
Delicious game, croquet, isn't it, John?
That's why I
like it.
Good shot. We don't see enough of you in Cambridge. You're the first man I've ever taught who's made it to the cabinet.
Where do most of your students end up then, Michael?
Oh, the Secret Service, mostly. Or the Daily Telegraph. For some reason, they seem to turn out extremely cynical. I can't imagine why.
I didn't.
No, of course not. You've always been on a mission to save England.
I'm utterly sincere in what I'm doing, if that's what you mean.
Heaven preserve us from sincerity.
Nice shot.
So, resigning from a government in deep trouble is an act of principle, is it? Rather than rhetoric and manoeuvre?
It's a calculated act of principle, yes.
Designed to do what?
Designed to make me Prime Minister at a critical moment in the history of this nation.
John, let me give you some advice. First of all, don't underestimate the Prime Minister.
Oh, for God's sake, he's nothing but a vacuous pragmatist, careering from one crisis to the next.
The Conservative Party has been led by such men for most of its history, and very successfully. Second, the party doesn't like clever, dangerous men, convinced that their moment has come.
My moment has come, Michael, believe me.
Third, Europe. When you're saving the British people from Europe, remember this. Fundamentally, the British people couldn't give a bugger.
That is an outrageous slur.
Stop talking like a bloody undergraduate and try to remember this. What you're engaged upon is not some high and noble calling. It's a game.
Oh, my game, I think.
There's a bit of a mob congregating at the turnstiles.
We better disperse them.
Right, sir.
Who's that lot on camera C?
I think they're just Brazilians.
Well, it wouldn't be allowed if I had my way.
Have you heard the PM's calling a leadership election?
So, Matthews is the killer, my God.
Stop thinking about Matthews and listen to this. I want my revenge. Revenge on all the men who pat my head in Downing Street and say I'm sweet. I'm not, but revenge is sweet.
What the hell's that?
Poetry, Frank. That's not poetry.
Oh, yes, it is. Tiger, tiger, burning bright. That's poetry.
Very possibly, Frank.
Into the valley of death, where the 600. That's poetry.
The point is, it's by the Prime Minister's wife.
Oh,
and
no.
And she's talking about revenge. Now, this is the profile in The Observer a few years back. The Prime Minister's wife is something of an enigma. After taking a brilliant first in English at Oxford...
Well, right in that, Bilge, you know, today's educational standards...
She met the future Prime Minister and gave up what would have been a glittering career to become a disillusioned politician's wife. Nowadays, close friends say she is a bitter, frustrated woman.
That doesn't prove anything, George. Look, mate... You've had a blow on the head, and you can't think straight.
Well, what about this? A gossip column from a few months ago.
Joe.
Apparently, she was ordered from the room during one of her husband's dinner parties for telling the guests how boring they were. Oh. Look at the guest list, Frank.
What's this? Earl of Battersea, James Yale, MP, Sir Rowan Joe. Well, they're all murder victims.
So when are you going to bring her in for an interview?
Oh, no, I'm still not convinced.
Then you could at least find out if the beads found near to where I was attacked belonged to her.
Listen, George. Don't you start telling me how to run a murder investigation. The fact is, we're hours away from the England match and I have taken personal charge of the security. It is up to me to make sure the killer doesn't strike again.
If you go out and arrest her, she won't strike again, will she? Right. Well, if you won't talk to her, I will.
Joe!
Well, Crispin, I've made a sweeping and courageous gesture.
Indeed.
I've put my political future on the line.
You certainly have, Prime Minister.
Yes. So, what do I do now?
Well, you could threaten to spend more time with your family.
Well, if my wife is topping the bestsellers with scurrilous verse about every aspect of my being, don't be ridiculous.
Well, you could try the Callaghan gambit. Well, in this kind of situation, Jim Callaghan used to say, either you support me or I'll retire to my farm in Sussex.
And I haven't got a farm in Sussex. No. I won't have this negative attitude. I know I've done the right thing.
Definitely.
I'm quite sure I'm going to win the leadership election.
I have to say, Prime Minister, that I agree with you.
Oh, good.
Up to a point.
What?
Well, let me put it this way. It's going to be very close.
You think so?
Which means, I'm afraid, that you're going to have to go round the tea room shaking hands.
Shaking hands? You mean in person?
Hmm. And you've got to smile.
Oh, good God.
And you've got to invite small groups of backbenchers into your office, or have a one-to-one, if necessary.
A one-to-one?
And you must reassure them, Prime Minister, even cajole them. But you must remember that offering them jobs at this time would be pointless.
Oh, thank God for that.
But ultimately, I have to say, the outcome of this leadership election depends on the outcome of the Euro summit. We have to have some sort of victory to present to the backbenchers, or frankly, we're sunk.
Oh, we've made a start. My trip round the European capitals wasn't entirely wasted. At least we've got the Italian PM on our side.
Ah. Yeah, unfortunately, the Italian police have got him, Prime Minister, in prison.
Oh, no.
And the summit starts tomorrow.
Well, you're my advisor, Crispin. Haven't you got anything to suggest?
Well, there's always the Wilson gambit, Prime Minister.
Which is?
A shock resignation announcement.
My God, you've actually bought a copy of my book.
And loved every page.
And you've asked me here just to tell me that. You don't look like a lover of poetry, Mr. Crack.
Meaning what? That I don't look as if I got a brilliant first in English?
No, I didn't mean that.
So you probably think I'm the sort that knows two rugby songs and a lot of blue jokes.
Not at all.
You know, the one thing I thank God for is making me aware, even at the age of 14 when I left school, that I'd be underestimated by the likes of you.
Well, look, Mr. Cragg, rather than sit here and be typecast as a member of the privileged class, I'm afraid I'm going to have to go.
Another drink, sir?
You haven't got any proper drinks, have you? Guinness, for example.
Don't you like cocktails, sir?
I'll have to put up with it, I suppose. All right, mate. Two more slow, comfortable wall bangers. God help us.
Silence.
Not for me, I'm afraid.
Look, before you leave...
I'm sorry, it's been nice meeting you again, but I've got a book to launch.
Hold on a minute.
Can you let go of my arm, Mr. Craig?
I just want you to explain one of your poems. I want revenge. Revenge on all the men.
Why would you be interested in that one?
Well, I am the crime correspondent.
What? Are you telling me I'm a murder suspect?
Did you nearly kill me at Wembley Stadium?
Would you let me go?
This necklace. It's different from the one you were wearing the last time.
Look, goodbye, Mr. Cragg. All I can say is I look forward to putting you in my next book.
Well, we'll just have to hope it's not called Verses from Holloway, then, won't we?
The prize is so close, David, so close.
The PM's all in, you see. If you can stop him getting an outright victory in the first part, he's dead in the water.
And then the country turns to the one man who can stand up for this nation's sovereignty.
Yes.
I tell you, David, when the Prime Minister capitulates to our so-called European partners, there will be an outpouring of national feeling, the like of which has not been seen in decades.
For the first time in over 30 years. But how many, even in their wildest dreams, thought England could beat Brazil by 4-1?
Magnificent.
Frank?
Absolutely magnificent.
Frank, I've just had a meeting with Joe Donaldson, the PM's wife.
4-1 and no murder.
Well, of course there wasn't another murder, because I had the killer tied up in a cocktail bar. That's why.
What, literally?
Well, there'll be no drinking or celebration.
You should have seen a place, Frank, when I asked about the
Harry Davis has insisted they attend a service tonight.
Talk about looking guilty.
Yeah, well, John Matthews is still top of my list.
It's as if she's flirting with me, daring me to catch her. And the thing is, God, there she is on the telly.
Well, oh, yeah, that's Westminster Abbey.
Westminster Abbey?
Yeah, all those European leaders are over here. They're attending a service to help pray for God's help with their negotiations or something.
So the PM's wife's there?
Yeah, and...
John Matthews?
Oh, my God. George is a servant at Westminster Abbey. It's being led by the Archbishop of Canterbury. Not even this maniac would he?
We'd better get there first.
Let us give thanks for the fraternity and comradeship of the European Union.
Amen.
And let us celebrate together. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness. But in thy manifold and great mercies, we are not worthy
of that. Honestly, Frank, we've got a serial killer on the loose who's fanatically anti-European.
Don't say it.
And a navy full of European leaders. Father, can we get in?
Can I help you, sir?
It's all right, son. D.S. Jefferson.
What's going on, Frank?
They're just finishing communion. Well, obviously nothing's happened.
That bloke's given away a bit of a scene too, isn't he?
That's the Archbishop, George.
Almighty and merciful God, may we who have eaten of the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and have drunk his blood, give thanks for him in us and us and us in him. Let us give thanks for the blessings of this life, for our health and succor, and let us look forward to the life ever, ever, life!
My lord! Is there a doctor, please?
Excuse me.
Are you a doctor?
A police officer.
Oh, my God. I'll tell the congregation the Archbishop's indisposed.
He's not indisposed, mate. Oh, he's in heaven.
In the Balance was written by Mark Taverner and starred Michael Williams, Barry Foster, Peter Woodthorpe, Jim Carter, Jeremy Clyde, Robert Bathurst, Susie Brown, Christian Rodska and Joanna Munro. It also featured Dave Lamb, Tracy Ann Oberman, Alex Lowe, Christopher Scott, Joan Meredith and Alice Arnold. Music was composed by Paul Mottram. In the Balance, script edited by Scott Cherry and produced by Paul Schlesinger.